This morning, for this very brief period of time, and it's only a brief time, we will study the Apostle Paul's concluding verses of Ephesians. And in so doing, could well ask ourselves again, what is the Spirit saying to me and to us today? And of course, by his grace, to seek to obediently respond and action it. Now, C.S. Lewis has been a great companion down through the years, has taught me a great deal. And one of the things he mentioned was that when he turned to the record of the scriptures and he began to read the New Testament seriously, he was an atheist up to about 30 years of age, was that it talked, he said, so much about a dark power in the universe, a mighty evil spirit who was held to be the power behind death, disease, and sin. Enemy occupied territory. That's what this world is, said C.S. Lewis memorably in his wonderful book, and if you haven't read it, I recommend it, Mere Christianity. 2,000 years ago, probably in Rome and in chains, in a prison cell for the Christian faith, the aged apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus. Verse 11 I'm quoting here, "Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." 360 years ago, in a Bedford jail in England, John Bunyan, a nonconformist Baptist preacher, was jailed for 12 long years at 32 years of age, dying just 16 years after his release. And whilst in prison, he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, in which he describes Christian on his journey to the celestial city. On his way, Christian lodged in the house built by the Lord of the Hill. After a brief stay, and before continuing his journey, Christian was taken to the armory and clothed in the armor of God, which we've just read from the Apostle Paul. But Bunyan specifically, and thanks Vince for that reminder of your emphasis upon prayer, critical in our life. Bunyan specifically identifies among the pieces of armour that which he calls all prayer. Continuing his journey, Christian descended to the valley of humiliation and was confronted by the evil dragon, Apollyon. Bunyan describes the terrible close combat and wrestling between Christian and his deadly foe. I think he memorably describes verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, our wrestling, our struggle. This word wrestle, this word struggle, is only found at this point in the whole of the New Testament. You won't find it anywhere else in the New Testament. But it was a word that was commonly known and commonly used for the very popular first century AD sport of wrestling. What is in view here in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 is deadly hand-to-hand combat, close encounter, not the firing of a computer-guided missile from a safe distance, but hand-to-hand close combat. And in the struggle, Christian gives Apollyon a deadly thrust with his sword, the word of God. And his enemy flees, allowing Christian to proceed on his journey towards the celestial city. Just pause here, and I looked into the life of Bunyan himself. Bunyan experienced himself many deadly struggles over those 12 long years in the Bedford jail, but none more so, and this took my attention, than when his enemies said to him, "Promise not to preach, and you can leave the prison today." "If you let me out today," replied Bunyan, "I shall preach again tomorrow." However, when his friends visited him in prison, "You're concerned, Bunyan, about your principles, about your conscience, is wonderful. But what about your wife? What about your children? Who has to care for them? And in particular, Bunyan, your blind daughter, Mary." It was such visits from his friends that tested John Bunyan more than anything else. It almost tore the very heart out of this man and sent him to his knees in earnest, agonizing prayer that God would keep him faithful. Indeed, God did keep him faithful, and through the Pilgrim's Progress in as well. For our part, we too must put on, of necessity, God's full armour, so that we can stand, withstand, and stand firm against all the evil one throws against us. Bunyan describes that after Christian's struggle with his evil foe, he proceeds on his journey with his sword drawn in his hand for fear lest he should again be assaulted. And Bunyan says, "I perceived the mouth of hell, and that Christian stood hard by the wayside with flame and smoke, things that cared not for his sword, as did Apollyon before on his journey. Christian was now forced to put up his sword and take to himself another weapon, which Bunyan calls all prayer." Ephesians 6:18, Bishop Wand, who was an archbishop in Brisbane back in the 1930s, translates it like this: "Keep your watch with continuous prayer and supplication, praying the whole time in the Spirit. With constant wakefulness and perseverance, you will find opportunity to pray for all Christian men and women. And please," says Paul, "say a special prayer for me." Now, it's significant to note that prayer in this final portion of this significant passage of Ephesians, and I recommend to you the reading of Ephesians. It would only take you about 15 or 20 minutes, but to read it and read it and read it. It's a remarkable letter in the closing years of the apostle's life. It's significant to note that prayer is given greater prominence within the context of the battle with the powers of darkness than any of the weapons listed in verses 14 to 17. As Bunyan describes it, all prayer was the only weapon Christian was able to use in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, this greater prominence given by Paul to prayer is very evident in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. And is closely related to all that has preceded in Ephesians 10 to 17. This link is particularly found in the use of Paul's use of the participles, continual prayer, keeping alert with perseverance and petition. This key verse, verse 18, is related directly to verse 14. Stand firm. Stand your ground. Again, Paul further underscores the importance of prayer. And I'm glad that, again, you mention it, Vince, in your praying. Intercessory prayer. Praying for others. It's a good title for our Army magazine, isn't it? Others. The founder, of course, nailed it. Others. Praying for others. And intercessory prayer plays a very significant and prominent part in this armour, all prayer. In fact, in verse 18, you will notice the employing of the word all, at all times, with all prayer and supplication, with all perseverance, for all God's people. I think Paul is saying something to us there. Yet again, the emphasis on prayer, intercessory prayer, is extended to verse 19, where Paul requests prayer for himself. What are we to learn from this? Paul clearly teaches that prayer is foundational for the development of all the other weapons. And it is therefore crucial if we as Christians are to stand firm in our spiritual struggles, in our Christian warfare. Indeed, a close reading of Paul's letters will reveal to you that this theme is followed through in all his letters. Throughout, he insists to his Christian readers, his followers in Jesus, on the necessity for us as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, to be engaged in unceasing prayer. I like J.B. Phillips' translation of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Never stop praying. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Always maintain the habit of prayer. Be both alert and thankful as you pray. Of course, like so much of the New Testament, it reflects back to Jesus. Peter is full of the memories of Jesus, and Paul reflects Jesus. Again, I'm quoting here, be alert, he says in 4:2 of Colossians, both be alert and thankful as you pray. Jesus to his disciples, Luke 21 verse 36, be always on the watch and pray. Again, in 18 verse 1 of Luke, Jesus taught his disciples that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, be alert, be awake. Constantly, pray constantly, is the Apostle Paul's stated exhortation. Now I thought, how are we going to do this? Pray without ceasing, pray without stopping. And then I stumbled across, some years ago, a dear friend of mine who I buried some years ago, Graham Cheeseman, might be known to you. His father was the Sergeant Major at the Hurstville Corps for a number of years, dear Graham. Out of his library, I picked up Thomas Kelly, the American saint and Quaker, who died suddenly of a heart attack while he was wiping his wife's dishes after a meal. in his early 40s. But he left us his meditations. And one of the meditations he left us, this 20th century American Quaker, Thomas Kelly, back in the 1940s. There is a way. There is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we may be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs. But deep within, behind the scenes, at a profounder level, we may also be in prayer and in adoration, song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. A gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. Have you been there? Are you there? Paul concludes his letter, and this could be said for each one of us, and pray for me too. This giant of an apostle, this man who went through so much, and pray for me too. Could I suggest respectfully to you each here this morning that intercessory prayer increasingly becomes a vital ministry within your own life? And you know, as the older I've got, and now we're into our 80s, and we're now finding that what Alexander White, the great Scottish divine of the 19th century and a friend of the founder who, when he went to Scotland, stayed in one of Alexander White's homes that he made available because of his great love and appreciation for the Salvation Army. Alexander White said that the older we get in old age, intercessory prayer increasingly becomes a vital ministry of our life. Thanks for that, Vince, again, for that reminder from your own personal experience, and may the Lord encourage you and Lorraine in your intercessory prayer. So I encourage you to continue, each one of us, with faith, with perseverance, with passion, in your commitment to pray for others. A vital part of the Christian armour, Paul and Bunyan, in our struggle with the evil one, in our ministry for Jesus, is that of all prayer, to quote John Bunyan, arising out of the teaching of the Apostle Paul. So I invite you to turn to that scripture again as I conclude, by reiterating the words, "What then is the Spirit saying to the army?" What then is the Spirit saying to our core? What then is the Spirit saying to you? What then is the Spirit saying to me? Ephesians chapter 6, finally, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. And for me. Amen. Well, let's conclude with a good rousing song and a challenge as we leave this hall to encourage you. And I know we have many of you, if not all of you, are very much involved, and I'm not reprimanding. God forbid that would be the case. I have no authority, no right to do that, because I must reprimand myself. But to encourage you to continue to pray and to put on the full armour of God.